Welcome to Star for Universal On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm on SAB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for the TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions, the call ID is 17702, or you can participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. And of course, we also call broadcast on the twitch.tv website. Just go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call and you will find us there. We will start usually around 9:30, 9:35. And just if I'm not there, just be patient. I will be showing up very, very shortly. And just in case you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall. Same spelling. And of course, I have a personal account, which is not related to the podcast. And that is Paul France, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. If you want to follow me, just a reminder that I am very passionate about being a Catholic O's fan. And also, I love all kinds of tech. And of course, also I have the France Games Twitter account for announcing things like Starfleet Warlord stuff and SAB Online goings on. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. And some quick news from A to B, there is no news. So just a reminder though that there's many, many bits of information, material, resources at Starfleetgames.com. Just go there. There's index. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. Also, if you want to, you can go to FederationCommander.com. And there's also stuff also there, obviously related to Federation Commander. But there's all kinds of stuff. You can get the latest hailing frequencies. You can get old communiques. So much material. And that was weird. Just thinking about the Federation Destroyer Escort, which listen back to the previous episode, you'll find it. Moving onward and forward, and the SAB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star 8 tournament final is completed with Justin Reuter flying the Romulan Firehawk over the Brian Evans, which was flying the Hydran. Congrats, Justin. And of course, the FedCom library has been adding some more onto it. I still got some ones I still have to process because of there's no properties that were added to it. So I need to go look up the properties and add them myself. So that takes a little bit more work. And of course, then there's the issue sometimes where there's no counter for the ship that I'm given, and I have to create counters, which always takes quite a long time to create a new counter. And when it comes to the FedCom, we're all the way up to 475 ships that are squadron size and 370, which are fleet size. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, this is the one and only Paul France, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me and anyone happen to be hanging out in the chat room on Twitch or possibly even over here. In the talk shoe, I'll try to keep an eye on both. Mostly, I'll probably be focusing on Twitch. But tonight's topic, for those who are interested, that is, if I was a king, if I was the king of ADB, basically, if I was given the chance to take over ADB and continue on what they're doing there, What would I do? What would be my priorities? What changes would I make? Now, obviously, here's the one thing that's always a gotcha in this. Now, I'm not blind. I don't know the gaming industry. You know, the game board industry, you know, when it comes to materials and things like that. That's not where I'm familiar with. So it's basically, it's like an enthusiast taking over the reins of a real company. So the ideas I have might be really on point. They might be just completely out there, you know? So given that, I would just take everything I have to say with a huge grain of salt, and because I think that's about the right way to take it. But at the very least, I'm sure all of us would like, you know, given an opportunity to, like, say, take over Apple, take over Microsoft, taking over Google, some company that we admire, but like the products that they produce. And there are certain things that we would like to see get done, but they're not doing them. You know, now, for example, one minor feature for if I was to take over at least iOS development, or at least iPad OS development, because this doesn't have to be in a in the phone, and that is for iPad OS. One thing I would add is one minor feature. And I'm not sure how hard this would be due, because the thing is, this, the iPad OS is based on iOS, which means that it was designed for a mobile platform to save save power, save battery, power obviously, save in some cases bandwidth, all these things that it's designed to think really careful about and use resources as minimalistic as possible, and that is. For iPadOS, the one thing that I'm looking for and I would love to have is the ability to have an actual background process in this, or at the very least, have a process that could then create a connection. See, here's why it had to be a background process in my mind, is that you maintain a network connection in the background. And it doesn't go away. And the problem is with having that connection, just a TCP/IP connection, there's a protocol usually associated with that. So usually to maintain that connection, you can't just have a connection open. You got to be doing something. You have to be sending data. At the very least, let's say we want to give it out of the program's control and add it to the operating system. You have to have like a handler which is connected to that connection and have it so that could have an ability to maintain that connection, whatever it would take to maintain that connection. The issue, possibly even update what's coming through that connection, whatever, because of if it's like an SSH shell. Because here's my use case for in that small case, and I'll get to actually the A to B stuff. And that is, in that case, what I do for a living is I use a computer, and most, I say, somewhere around 75 to 80% of the time, my work is not being done right there physically on that machine, as in writing files to the machine and things like that. Most of my mind is remote work. This is for my daytime job. It's remote work. I connect to remote computers, whether they're Linux boxes or Windows boxes. I connect and I check my email, which obviously I can do in a browser. I use a browser to do things like, go to the bug, where we keep track of bugs, the bug tracker software that we use, things like that, which are all online, So in theory, if the iPad could maintain its connection, like in my case, the SSH sessions and the remote desktop sessions, for when I need them to be maintained, that would make the iPad perfect for what I want to do. So, but I digress. That's me being an Apple fanboy, and Lord knows, that's the one and only feature I would really, really like to have in iPad OS. So, but I digress. Moving forward to the topic for this evening, which is, if I was king of A to B, that is, what would I do? There's so many things that I would love to do. Some of those things I know that Steve Cole would disagree with. And that's why, if I was king, I would do things differently. But again, as I said, I run a relatively small business here. You know, cause I run SAP Online a bit. I run Starfleet Warlord. So both those are relatively small businesses. You know, my total profit for the year is very, very small. And most of the time, I don't have that, I can't live off of what I get from those two services at the moment. That might change in the future, but at the moment, it doesn't. So, given that I'm that small a business owner, I mean, really small, you know, taking over ADB would be a big jump up. So, anyhow, moving onward, okay, obviously, I would keep the miniatures going because I love the idea of miniatures. And I think that's a big thing, and I think when it comes to overall rules products, like Acta SF, the Call to Arms, basically, is, the other word for it. Call to Arms, Starmada, FEDCOM, FNE, SFB. We've got a wonderful plethora of different levels of detail when it comes to tactical and strategic board games. Now, here's the problem. In that strategic and tactical board games are not in vogue, because here's always the gotcha on that. Yes, I do have a cat. In fact, I have three cats at the moment. Well, Iggy, people complain that about having pay for SFP Online. So they gonna complain about paying for Starbucks? Yeah, Iggy, it was mine. The cat was being quite noisy. I'm not sure why, but anyway, when it comes to SOP Online, I'm charging five lousy dollars a month for a service that costs me money to run. I can't do this at a loss. If they can do it, if they want a service that's free, they can write it up. They can create a SFB Online service. If they want to spend the time, spend the effort, and then go, yeah, I'm going to give it away for free, feel free. As long as you don't charge for it, it is, in my mind anyway, it's fan-based. I think that's what happened with, Star Trek series. That originally, they were doing a really, really good job on production quality for the Star Trek little series that they were creating. And then Paramount got their knickers in a wad when, they actually wanted to start charging money for you. As soon as money comes involved, all of a sudden people get weird. So in that case, it's like, hey, you have to pay for the IP, because it goes, in my mind, from that, yeah, that's it. XNR. And that is, that's when people get funny, and actually, I can understand why at that point it comes from fan supported, fan based, running fan fiction. Most fan fiction you can't be paid for, because as soon as you pay for it, then you've basically, you stole the intellectual property of someone else. While if you're doing it as a fan for free, you're borrowing it to write up stuff that you're a fan about, and you want to continue that, you know. But I digress on that subject, because, you know, and if they want me to improve it, please tell me, give me details, because that's one thing I was working on, you know, thinking about, okay, I was coming up with a list, okay, what things that I need to do, and actually create a list when it comes to modernizing things, what did that mean to me, and things like that. And that was one thing that I went back to the original thread on the Star for the Universe discussion board that they, you know, they have. I mean, there's a thread that we had, you know, tried it, didn't like it. I think it was the thread topic. And the one thing that, you know, I posted, and Steve Cole went, yep, I totally agree with that, because he had the same experience, which is the experience of, I have back grid lines. Oh, okay. There were grid lines in the peace list? Okay. Oh, I know. Are you okay, so you're talking about the look and feel, you know. You can add them back in. You just have to change the. Just have to go into the preferences or options. I forget what it's called. Preferences in, on the Mac. I think it's called options in Windows and the like. And you can change the look and feel, and that changes the look and feel. The flat look and feel is the one without the lines and so forth. Because personally, I kind of like that without the lines. But if you want the grid lines, hey, feel free. You can change the look and feel to be whatever you want it to be. Because there's some kind of cool look and feels that are there, you know. But anyhow. But you know, as I mentioned to Steve Cole, like, you know, I've got these people who say, okay, I want this, and I went, okay, what does that look like? What do you mean by that? And what is really, really hard for me is, okay, in the case of somebody comes to me and says, oh, I got this issue, and here's the issue. I say, okay, great. Can you do this, 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 and this? And all of a sudden, they disappear into the ether, never to be heard from again. It's like they were looking for one, an immediate response, and they're posting on the forum, and that's not. It's not like I have, you know, alarm bells sounding off every single time someone posts something onto the forum, or someone posts it on Facebook, or someone emails me. You know, you want to get my response? Go to Discord, and even then, it depends upon what part of the day it is. If I'm in the middle of a meeting of my day job, which pays me to, so that I can do what I can do for SFB Online and keep that running, because otherwise I'd have to drop it off and get a real job, which I already have, which is the good thing. But anyway, you know, and you know, I try to help them out, but they disappear, and I never get a response, and it's like, okay, I can't help you. And part of reporting an issue is helping me to discover what the issue is. If you really want to fix, I need engagement here. I need you to help me to find the problem so I can solve the problem. Actually, I had a nice one from Les LeBlanc, and wow. He's using a part of the interface which I have not looked at for, I want to say, over a decade, to be honest. And that is, for those who never experienced this, and I can understand why you have not experienced this, and that is, if you use a demo account, you go into a room, and someone's playing a game, but they have all these ships, you know. But the thing is, those ships will not show up as the SSDs in demo mode. It will show up as what I call text SSDs, text-based. Basically, they are the different types, you know, how much shields you have, how many hull boxes you have, all these stuff, and they're just a grid of numbers and system types, and that's all. And so he's saying that, oh, when you get it, repaired, well, you try to edit the ship. You try to edit the ship with text-based, it won't let you to edit the ship. And I went, wow, I've never had anyone try to do that before. So that's something I might look into fixing. I'm not sure. Obviously, I think in my mind, it is an edge case. And in some cases, it's going to take a bit of work because of the issue with that particular issue is, especially with the third gen SSDs, you know, you might have phasers, like four phaser ones that are left side, you know, and I forget if in text-based, I think each box is one, but the problem is with the third gen definitions, each box is multiple or can be multiple. So converting third gen to a text-based is quite a bit different from a second gen to a text-based. So I'd have to change the way it gets converted, which will be interesting. But anyhow, getting back, I'm trying to get back to ADB, and I keep on falling down the hole of SMB Online. Does this surprise anyone? No, it does not. But anyhow, getting back to what I was thinking about when it comes to A to B. I know certain things that I would love to do. I'm not even sure about that anymore. In the case of this is way back. Let me think. Easily, somewhere between 5 and 10 years ago. I'm just thinking about the last time I actually went to Origins. And I'm sure some of you out there remember the clicks, hero things, which are really cool. I love the idea. I love the idea where basically on this little stand, you have little numbers which represented, you know, like their strength, their hit points available, maybe, you know, probably hit points, possibly some other value. It has so that you could move the piece around, and then you wouldn't have to keep track of how close it is to dying. And I would love to have that for SFB, or at the very least a boiled down version of SFB that could be done with clicks. But of course that's a very hard thing to do. And the tough part, as I mentioned earlier, is that I really feel like maybe it's just me, maybe it's just the people I listen to, and that is, it seems like to me that when it comes to board games, sit down physical board games, the physical board games are more like the German-based games, more like the possibly even, you know, I'll say grand strategy, but more of things to that are abstracted a bit. For example, I was gonna say Axis and Allies is a good one. Risk, I think, is the one I was thinking of. The idea of that, those pieces and what they represent and the land and all that kind of thing is very abstract. I think that's what people are looking for in board games. You know, there's that. Yes, I see the cat too. Now, why the cat is doing what it's doing, I don't know. Say hello, Appa.
Hello.
So, that was one of my cats. That's Appa. But anyhow, my other cat is actually over there. It's sleeping on my work chair, which the weird part about that is my work. I am just a big softy when it comes to my cats, so much so that my cat will fall asleep in my work chair, my nice comfy work chair, and instead of moving my cat, what I will do is I'll move the chair, push it to the side, get a kitchen chair, because I'm working at home, and I use a kitchen chair to do my work with instead of my nice comfy chair. That's how big of a softy I am. You know, I'm just, my cats are spoiled. Yeah, understood, Iggy. Iggy just mentioned that he prefers his animals to his kids. They talk back less. I agree there. My kids are adults. Young adults, but adults. Because I've got my oldest is 28. I think 28. Yeah, 28. He's 28. He'll be 29 in December. Got the youngest is, let me think, she just had a birthday in June. Born in 97. So that makes she's 24. And then I have my other daughter who will be 26 in September. So, as I said, young adults, but still adults. But anyhow, you know, and in that case, you know, my wife and I have a different opinion when it comes to our kids. Probably because I had a different experience. Different attitude? I don't know. She likes them when they're grown up. You know, not much, you know, I'm not sure why. She just says she likes her kids now that they're grown up. Me, as I mentioned multiple times to my kids and to my wife, I preferred it when they were 7 years old. When they were young, I knew where they were going to be. You know, I could definitely get hugs anytime I wanted to from my kids. Them and me, we'd all go together. I take the kids maybe to the mall, and we just walk around the mall, just together, just to be together. It was, to me, I liked that, you know. But my wife, maybe because she didn't spend as much time with them. I don't know. Of course, one issue about back when they were that small, you know, she was very busy with her job, so she was, you know, she didn't get to spend as much time with our kids as I did in some cases. So, you know, would things be different if she was doing what she's doing now when they were younger? Possibly. But it is what it is. Moving on. But anyway, moving back. Boy, I'm chasing a lot of rabbits today. So it's crazy. But anyhow, when it comes to the games, I think they need to be more beginning level. I'm really, really looking forward to Merchants of the Federation, because I feel like that game can go. Now, I don't know where Merchants of the Federation is currently at. I should actually contact Steve about that to see where is it. In theory, I probably can go to Board Game Geek, because it seems like that's where the guy hung out. Because of, I still remember that when I got, I had some issues with the game. And a lot of the issues were actually already talked about and solved, but they weren't posted where I could see them. They're all posted in Board Game Geek in the forum there. And no one told me that the creator of Merchants of Federation was active over in the Board Games Geek. So I never looked there. And after I talked to him, actually, he sent me the cards and so forth. It was crazy because of I still remember to this day when I had people try out, you know, Merchants of the Federation, which after the first time through, I completely misunderstood the rules. Not completely, but most part, there's idiosyncrasies that I did not understand about the rules and how it all worked. And there were some things that I don't think even the board games he never resolved for me. For example, one of the things I remember about it, which was there is a penalty for not doing something. Basically, it costs you money to not Merchant of the Federation. It's still in playtest. Last time I heard, but it's based on the Starfleet universe. I actually spent the money to get a big copy made at Staples and have it laminated. So I spent way too much money to get it all set up. It was like I spent, including printing and everything, it cost me over $200 for the Merchants Federation. It was not just that. It was also, I bought like a slicer for slicing up the cards. I didn't even laminate the cards. Lord, oh. Or have them cut it. Oh man, it's like for each cut, it was like $1 for each cut. Cutting, you know, one. So if you want three cuts for a piece of paper, it costs you $3. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So, but anyway, I remember finding out that I didn't have everything. After having fun, I contacted the guy. The guy sent me a PDF. I went to the Staples down the street from where the convention was being held, and have him print out copies there. You know, and it's like, really? And because the thing is, well, it doesn't help that, you know, these things weren't included to begin with. And I start reading the rules and they're referencing stuff which I have no clue what they are because I don't have the pieces. So anyhow, now that's one game that I would want to get. I would push to the front of the line. Now, obviously, part of that issue right there is that ADB is not the designer of it. It's this other guy who's the designer of it. And I'm not sure where the designer is when it comes to the status of it. Because it's been 2 or 3 years now. I think it might be 3 years since the initial Merchants of the Federation were made available for playtest. And I'm not, as I said, that one rule where it costs you a thing. So the problem is, I mentioned to him, I was like, well, what happens if you run out of money? What's the penalty for running out of money? And he went, huh, never thought of that. It's like, wait a minute. You're telling me you designed a game where you have money involved, it costs you money, and the idea is to make sure people do not, by costing people money for like not doing actions, basically. No, you're not earning money, so that it still costs you money to like maintain your fleet or something like that. What happens when you run out of money? Because you're trying to encourage people to do it, but there's no, to me, this seems like there's no penalty. Do you now have to take a loan from the bank? Do you now owe the bank money? Does the bank now confiscate some of your ships? What happens? You know, that was the kind of stuff that I put out there, and he didn't have an answer for. He didn't ever thought of it. See, this is why, you know, game designers always have to do play tests, because they're people will abuse the rules to get an advantage. And Lord knows, Paul Scott, he was the ultimate in that. He was definitely was the ultimate. I'm sure he'd read those rules, and he would actually tear them apart. So that was one thing I put up to the top of the list when it comes to X1, which actually I saw Gary posting. That reminds me. I'm hoping. Cool. Just checking over here. Talk to you to see if maybe Gary called in late, because Lord knows I have a tendency, I'm not looking for people who call in after I start, which is a bad thing. And then part of that issue is just the way this thing's designed, this whole talk show. The original design, I think, was better for that, because it has one list where you could see both who joined the chat room and who called in. While this one, you have to switch back and forth between the two now. So it makes it hard to monitor things when you want a lot of people in. But anyhow, getting back to that, you know, that is, you know, update X1, possibly update the C3A module to include the things that the latest, you know, updates the X1 when it comes to, I forget. Obviously, I wanted to get the Stormata. I think they still have to do the Unity edition of the battleships, and I have to check on the Andromeda. The Distant Kingdoms, I think, is there. I forget where IC is. IC and Andromedans. I forget what those were. Because the thing is, some of these weapons don't match well with Starmada, you know, that role system. Because like the PPD, that one is an interesting weapon, because the idea of that weapon is that you go over multiple impulses, so you go boom, 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 boom. Well, you can't. There's no way of doing that. In the case of that, it's over multiple turns. So you'd actually have to, in theory, it can be a weapon that does, when you fire it. Okay, thank you, Chris. Distant Armada, which is the Hydrants and Lyrans and LDR and Wynn. Yeah, I knew that. War and Peace. Okay, War and Peace is Andros, which is not out yet, which should be interesting, because that's one thing I always found interesting about the Andromedans when it comes to try to... See, the thing is, the Andromedans are unlike any other empire in the entire SFB universe. And that is, they don't use shields. Now, the thing is, when it comes to Starmada, you know, Klingon Armada and all the Armadas, they have never even gone down the road of the Omega stuff. The Omega stuff will be even more interesting to cover, because of then you have certain the quirkiness of, you know, different damage allocation things, which then they wouldn't be doing. And the different, like, what was it, the Shrieks? Where the idea is that you, some of the stuff that just have to be watered down or normalized. Now, The Andromedas are different beast altogether because they're not, they don't have shields per se, and they have shields that can be easily repaired, which is, that is what defines an Andromedan. That part is what defines the Andromedan right there when it comes to other ships. You know, which, you know, what might have to happen is that they actually allow the repairing, the Andromedans can actually repair their shields, which I don't, I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure in Klingon Armada, there's no way to repair the shields. I'd have to double check that, and I'm sure Chris, he might know off the top of his head, and I don't remember seeing anything about repairing of, in this case, the Star Armada, they're actually called screens, and not called shields. Shields are a little different. They're like leaky screens, or yeah, they're more like leaky shields. You know, when it comes to referencing SFB, I would do that. You know, I don't, Chris. Be honest, I don't think there is even repair rules in Star Armada. I don't think there is. I'd have to double check. You know, I've got the books right here, but I don't think I'm gonna stop recording and look it, or even have the recording keep going and look it up while you guys are waiting here for me to look it up. I don't think that's the way to do it. But anyway, given, you know, obviously push to get War and Peace done, which I think they're already kind of doing. Keep going on the miniatures. Merchant of Venice, I'm sorry, Merchant of the Federation. Iggy mentioned Merchants of Venice, but no, that's not, it's a different game. Totally different game. But more along those lines of those board games, and if there was some way of creating a new card game, which maybe instead of basing it off of, Starfleet Battles, you know, the actual battle itself, change it to be more along the lines of a campaign game. Oh, okay. Chris says Klingon Armada damage control. There is something. Thank you, Chris. But anyway, so you can't, I'm sorry. I got sidetracked by Chris and I forgot where I was in the middle of. Oh, that's it. Have a different card game, but have it, instead of having based off the combat, have it based off a campaign itself. Now, would it be possible to repurpose the Starfleet Battle Force? Possibly. The biggest issue there, of course, is that I don't think if we had to add cards to that game, you could actually add the cards properly. Meaning, you know, there'd be the different feel. It'd be hard to get exactly the same kind of card stock and so forth. You know, same look, same feel. It would, so in which case, you have to create a whole different card game, different cards completely from scratch. But I think that's a better way of approaching it. Instead of having it so it's combat, have it so it's more strategic in thinking and levels. You know, maybe, you know, you as part of the building, you build up your fleets basically, and you have to take control of, you know, so many sectors. You know, and there's different ways of doing it. You can have it so that each player has their own number of sectors, you know, and possibly even you choose your empire, you know, and then, you know, there's each empire has the same number of cards, you know, so that, you know, no empire has more than the others, you know, but, you know, that kind of idea, something a little less tactics and a little more strategic. I think that would be the way to go when it comes to having games that are more accessible to more people. I think that would be the approach to go when it comes to that. I was thinking on the whole dice thing, because, you know, obviously there's some dice games itself, like the Dragon Dice. Now, I'm not saying that we should have a Dragon Dice game which is based on the Starfleet universe. I don't think so. But I'm sure everyone out there remembers the Empire specific dice that the AV used to sell. Now, maybe bring this back, you know, and in this case, maybe make them better, you know, I don't know. Make them part of the game or better yet. You know, for when we talk about that campaign card game, you're going to need dice for that. Now, what you can do is have it so that there's a few dice that are included in the game. You know, you got enough that you can play it without buying additional dice. But now, obviously, you have to make sure that there's enough of a need for this, which is if the campaign card game goes gangbusters, you know, really sells well, then go bring forth Empire-specific dice so that each player who chooses their Empire, they can have their own dice and kind of have it as an upgrade to the game. You know, like what they do with... what are some of the games I'm thinking of? Maybe like Brass? You know, that's a good one because... In Brass, one thing you have are these coins, which represent money, you know, in this case, pounds. Now, those coins, those little chits, those chips, they're chips, actually are really good. They're really thick. They're heavy. They're nice quality. I love them. But you can get upgrades, you know, ones that are actually like metal. They're actually made out of metal itself, you know. So that's kind of an upgrade that someone. I'm not sure if it goes through the person who creates the game, but it comes forth as a third party. So they sell these kind of upgrades that you can buy for the physical game, and I think that would go better. Because the biggest issue that I find is that I think most people, when it comes to tactical games, they're used to tactical and most strategic, large strategic games, be played on, Iggy, not Brass. I played Brass Birmingham. That's an okay one. The one I play the most of is Brass Lancaster. I've played that one. Whoa, man. Between 5 and 8 times with Barry, because he owns a copy. And actually, I no longer have it. Actually, I used to have a piece of his that he left behind. Barry and I had the opportunity to actually play a game last week. No, not the last weekend. It was 2 weekends ago. Iggy is saying that the Lancaster is supposed to have an unbeatable strategy, but I've never been able to figure that out. Well, me neither. You know, because the thing is, Iggy, the big thing when it comes to Lancaster is you still had that random issue. You don't get, when it comes to the cards that you get, you have a great strategy, But if you don't have the cards to implement the strategy, you're screwed. So, you know, it's so to me, that, which means that it's never an unbeatable strategy if you don't get the cards that you need. So, but I digress. So, you know, things like that, I think, which would be a good little add-on to. When it comes to, obviously, we still have to continue on when it comes to role-playing, because role-playing actually is quite popular, and people still buy it. You have GURPS, and another thing that I was thinking about, and because I've been watching Steve Jackson Games. Steve Jackson Games has been doing something which I think is quite interesting. And that is the idea of going back to the beginning. just brings me back to watching Princess Bride. But anyway, if you know Princess Bride, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, going back to the old games, the original games, you know, Car Wars, you know, the original packets, you know, this big, you know, when you could buy Car Wars, you could buy the different Steve Jackson games for like $3 a piece or something. I forget how much it was. But anyway, you'd see them hanging, you know, on the thing in the game store, you know, on the wall in the game store. And you say, oh, I'll get that. In fact, I remember buying Core Wars and Warp War. What else? There might be something else. But, you know, some of the games actually Steve Cole currently sells on the Warehouse 23. Some of the old, these are old games that he created long ago. But the one thing that I would think about doing and see how they will work out, which is go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the original designer's edition of S&B and update it. Not, you know, don't go over and completely rewrite the rules. Maybe tweak the rules a little bit, make things a little more. Yeah, Chris, Ogre. Actually, I got to play a game of Ogre, and I actually won, which was quite cool. Of course, this is a demo, so invariably, they want you to win, so you want to play again. Actually, I think when I played Klingon Armada for the first time, I think I lost. That was one of those crazy ones, as I said, you know, when they were using vector-based movement, and I realized that. I actually one time got so my speed was above my engine rating and I could not turn. So yeah. Anyway, but the idea being that get back to a simpler tactical board game. You know, something that you could pick up and play, and maybe a limited number, you know, have a, you know, designer's edition, a limited number of ships that you have in the designer's edition, limited number of rules, you know, the little pamphlets kind of rules, and go with that approach, you know, still sell, you know, for the enthusiast that want the SFB, you know, sell SFB, sell Federation Commander, sell all these newer games, but maybe go retro. You know, when it comes to S&B, provide an edition which is the old edition. You know, even if it requires you to spend, you know, pay someone to retype in the rules, you know, but make it so it's the pamphlet kind of thing. It's a 10-page pamphlet on how to play S&B. You know, yes, you know, well, or I'm not sure. Actually, the thing is, I actually have to go and. Look, I think I might have the designer's edition. I might have bought a copy on Warehouse 23. But you know, I think that'd be great. You know, have a small set of counters, small SSDs, that have just the basics. Just the basics. Now, not all the stuff that that we have these days with the Crawford boxes, with the weapons charts, everything. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the basics. Go back to, let's go retro. Well, what you've got? You've got SSD. That's all you got. You don't got the ship. You don't know how. If you want to know all that rest information, you got a separate sheet. When it comes to how many, you want tracking of shuttles, get another piece of paper out. If you want to track them, write it down and say, okay, this is a tractor. When it comes to the designer's edition, there was a lot of the stuff did not exist. A lot of these rules did not exist, and go back there. I think that'd be a great idea, is to go back to, go retro. Obviously keep selling things online. When it comes to SFB Online, obviously I would want it to be taken out. Well, if I was king of ADB, I would no longer be working on SFB Online. Though at the same time, here's the gotcha. Here's always the gotcha on this kind of stuff. And that is finding developers that can be trusted, that can work well, do what you need them to do, and basically get your money's worth. Not, because there are multiple times that I've heard of people, they hire these developers, they produce crap, and they don't, and they cost them like quite a few thousands of dollars. Heck, who was it? Leo Laporte was having their whole, was building it, have an app, and it cost them like $25,000. And what did he get at the end? They got nothing. Because of, it wasn't what they wanted. And so they gave up on trying to have an app for basically for the Twit network. And if people want an app, there are apps out there for Twit, and it's done by third parties, and third parties have done a decent job on creating a product which can be used for it. They actually gave people APIs and things like that so they can find out information about Twit, which is, hey, that's the way to go. I've not actually looked at that for a long time, so I'm not sure if they still support it. But anyhow, the idea being that put a little more effort into that, possibly even trim it down. As I said, most people want to be able to have to play the game actually on the computer. In this case, implement the rules. I'm not for SFB, but let's say for Federation Commander, and have it so it has updated graphics. Now, here's always the difficult part about doing what I really envision to do. My envision to do requires easily $250,000 in investment to do. Now, this is low end. I'm not talking about a AAA product, where it costs you millions of dollars, because that's not how big it would be. And even $250,000 that's a heavy, hefty price. So, I think it would be really, really great to do it. And even if there's multiple ways of doing it, so it's cross-platform, so it's available as an app or on like iOS or Android, or even as a desktop app. One thing which I still loathe just even think about, but it's an easy way to get cross-platform, which is Electron-based apps. But apps are based on basically a browser. Now, the big issue there, obviously, is might run into the Facebook issue. That is, Facebook originally implemented their iOS app as just that. It was basically a wrapper I've not experienced that though. Of course, my Slack app, which is an electronic based app, I close down every single day, so I never see it. But yeah, it's possible. The biggest issue with electronic based apps, I'm not sure if they're leaking memory. Why they're leaking memory? Because that could be multiple issues, including the application itself is not properly. As Chris, you know, Chris is mentioning Atom. Atom is an editor, which is an Electron based app, which is still a weird concept to me. As in an editor that uses a browser, web browser. That's basically what it is. As I said, it's goofy. But anyhow, I'm not sure why it's, you know, why it takes up so much memory. Is it that there's an actual problem with the Electron framework? Is it a problem with the actual code itself, where they're not keeping a close eye on the objects or and such? You know, how does Electron-based app handle heap? Do they actually do a garbage collection like Java? Java does. Lord knows, Java has multiple ways of implementing garbage. They have multiple garbage collectors out there, which can keep memory requirements quite low. You know, decently low. That's always a gotcha when it comes to the garbage collection based languages, and that is that. To do it best, you want it to have a heap size which is hard set, so you can't use them more than this is your maximum. So you know that when you really have to garbage collect and really clean it up as much as possible, versus, I've got a 100 megabyte heap, you know, I can expand that to be a gig and I'll be fine. Oh, I need to be 2 gigs. No, that's fine. And it just keeps growing. Instead of at that point going, you know, we really need to do a garbage collection, get rid of all this stuff, and then possibly compact, you know, the references to memory objects and all this kind of thing. So, sorry, I'm going down the road of what I know, which is development. And Lord knows a bit about garbage collection language, i.e. in this case, Java is most of that. But anyhow, you know, because I think that if that could be done, I think it definitely draws people to it. Cause I think they come online. Oh, sorry. Federation Commander as a computer-based game would be wonderful. And especially if you could have it so that people could play, you know, the rules would be based there. Because I think, Starfleet Command. That's it. Starfleet Command, which was originally based on SFB, did wonderful until they got a license from Paramount, in which case things really went down the road. Okay. So, I think that's the way to go. You know. Get more developers in on that. The question is the quality of the graphics. Because this is the part where I don't know how much it would cost. And this, I think this is where, yeah, exactly, Iggy. That Iggy's just mentioning Ogre is fun because it's a simple game. That is why, possibly even going with that retro approach, you know. You're scaling back on the rules, so far so that you're no longer playing the original. You're not playing the current SFB. You're playing the original SFB. You're not even playing Federation Commander, which is even more complicated than the original SFB Designer's Edition. And go from there. You know, as that brings up a good thing that I might actually do. At the very least, maybe tonight, maybe this weekend. What I'll do is actually I'm going to go and either buy or find my copy of the Starfleet Battles Designer's Edition, and so that I know how big it was, how many rules there are, because there's a lot of, obviously, with that designer's edition, there was not the original one. The number of weapon systems were a lot less. It had photons, it had disruptors, it had phasers. It had drones. I don't know if they had Romulans. In, or even, you know, Romulans or Web or Tholians in that, in the designer's edition. I'd have to go look. But that would be an interesting base to use for an implementation of SFB. You know, go small. Well, anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there. You got to hear my opinions on what ADB should, what I would do if I was king of ADB. And obviously, you got to meet my cat, one of my cats. So, anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.